welcome to ArtWorlds. Today, we are joined by Matthew Kiptum, a lecturer and printing technology expert with a passion for design and cultural preservation. Matthew's journey started with a curiosity about packaging and has since evolved into a mission to preserve traditional knowledge, especially through his research on Mulzik, a sacred Kalenjin drink. In this episode, we'll explore how indigenous practices intersect with modern design and the role technology plays in preserving cultural heritage. Let's dive into Matthew's inspiring insights.
Hello everyone, it's a beautiful afternoon. We are privileged to have a guest in our podcast. He's a lecturer at the Technical University of Kenya. He teaches computer graphics and printing science. He has a vast knowledge in printing technology and other design-related fields that we are going to talk about in this podcast. His name is Mr. Matthew Kiptum. Thank you so much for availing your time to be in our podcast.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate to share a vast knowledge ranging from printing, design, and also some other forms of research.
The current situation that is happening today in Kenya, we have the Gen Z revolution that has been trending, considering that we have had a lot of printouts, for example, posters, banners, t-shirts. Do you think this revolution has had a positive impact in the printing industry?
Actually, with every generation, it has its own cause of purpose. What is unraveling in Kenya is basically to say it is a change, it is a new dawn, because the youths are demanding their requirements based on the art that they are being taught in school. So they must use their art-based knowledge to pressure the government so that they can listen to them.
So as we were going through your profile, we noticed that you have done a diploma in printing and a bachelor's in printing. What made you major on printing technology?
Printing is still new in Africa. Let's say in Europe, in Australia, India, Asia, and the US and the UK. Printing is growing, and they really treat it as a big, big industry. Africa has not realized that we need a lot of printers or a lot of youth be engaged in printing so that it can accommodate both the packagers and the printers and the designers.
Was being a designer your dream job?
More than 10 years ago, I was in high school. Whenever I saw something that is being designed, I had that inquisitive nature. How is this package being designed? Immediately I finished high school, I enrolled into short courses so that I can know what are these designers doing? How are they coming up with a very beautiful package? That's why I enrolled into short courses, which majored in graphic design, web design, and also video production.
What would you say are your strongest skills in the field of printing technology?
We printers, we design using computers. So my skills lies on graphic design, which ranges from magazine design, posters, pamphlets, business cards, flyers. Since printing is so wide, you have to narrow it down. Either you are a graphic designer, or you are a press technologist, or you are a print finisher. Since my interest was with design, I decided to remain on the pre-press area, which encompasses design in general.
In the course of your working profession, would you say you have come across a challenging project that you'd like to share with us?
When I came into the teaching profession, I really found it a very new field, whereby I had to familiarize myself, and I had no one to tell me that this is how it is being done. It was really a challenge, because supposing I don't give out the instructions well, it will kill someone's passion until one may opt to do another field or major in another field within the printing technology.
We went through your research on Mulzik. I love that you're trying to bring it back, because it's part of the KO people, their culture. You talked about during the process of making Mulzik, you use ash in that process of fermentation. So do you put the ash inside the milk?
In Kenya, we have a lot of ethnic groups or ethnic communities. Among the Kalenjin ethnic group, And within the Kalenjin community, we have the fermented milk known as mursik. This mursik, I can say it is an icon to our society. For us Kalenjins, mursik is sacred to the community. It has a lot of functions. It has a symbolic meaning. It has the nutritional meaning, and it can also be used in some customary events. To address your question, you asked, is some ash inputted directly? The primary function of the ash, it is passed around in that gourd while hot. This means that it will create a buffer between the milk itself and the walls of that gourd. That is why it can stay as long as it can without getting some leakage. It is actually charcoal, not ash. It is burnt charcoal from a specific indigenous tree. In Kalenjin, we call them itet. And this tree, whenever you burn it, it produces some aroma. You've seen some milk when they ferment, they produce a somehow bad smell. But once the milk is poured into that gourd, that smell disappears. And then number three thing that charcoal does to the mursik, it adds flavors, such that whenever you drink it, you can feel the sweetness of that fermented milk. That is the secret behind the mursik.
Do you think mursik identifies the Keiyo people? Does it give them identity?
Actually, it is our icon. Anything that is done within the Kalenjin community, it is based on mursik. An example, you can see even the greatest athletes globally. Whenever they are almost completing a race or they have completed a race, you can see a guard is being brought. From my own personal experience, when I graduated with my bachelor's degree, the mursik was brought from Elgeyo Marakwet County to Nairobi County because it is something I've done to the community that it is worth celebrating. And a celebration cannot be a celebration without mursik. Whenever we have marriages, traditional marriages, we normally use mursik because the marriage between two parties, it is something that is long-lasting. So the mursik, again, has to be used to join these people together.
Are there specific roles that different community members play in the process of making mursik?
The art or the technique of making mursik varies from an individual to an individual because this is knowledge that was undocumented. If you have that skill, you can make it. I can make it. Anyone can make it as long as you know what are the components and how long does it stay so that it can ferment. It is ready for consumption. The primary objectives of my research was to assess the factors influencing the transmission of indigenous knowledge related to mursik making. And another objective was to evaluate the nutritional, the cultural, and the economic significance of mursik within the community. And the last objective was to explore the strategies of preserving and disseminating that knowledge. During my time when I was young, the elderly were the ones who were preparing it. There was nowhere it was documented or it was written that if you want to prepare mursik, you can go into the forest and you can look for this and this. And since we were young, we could not actually capture everything that we were being told. And that is why I came back now, since we are in the digital era whereby we can easily access scholarly articles online and the digital repositories. This study will be more of a qualitative research design whereby the ethnographic approaches will be intense in investigating how indigenous knowledge related to the traditional practice of making mursik among the Keiyo community is preserved and disseminated. I'll conduct ethnographic interviews whereby I'll use some key informants like the elderly. There are some elders who are mandated to pour milk within a function or an event, a community event that is happening. So the key informants, like the elders, we have traditional healers, the medicine men. They have that knowledge of making mursik. How can mursik be significant in our modern day society? And then again, the participant observation, whereby I'll be observing what is being done. I'll immerse myself to any cultural activity that will be happening. So I'll be there to observe how are the procedures being carried out, what is it that they are doing, what technique are they using, comparing to what other people are using in other geographical area. And also the use of the FGDs, the focus group debates, whereby you engage a peer group, then you debate on the necessary skills and what is there to be used specifically, what is there to be improved on top of what is there. Research cannot be research without analyzing literature. So you have to analyze the previous documentation. What are they saying concerning the art of Mursik in terms of preservation and dissemination of that knowledge? That is a brief on how the methodology that I'll be using and the objectives.
In your research, you talked about that Mursik is prepared through a meticulous process involving specific techniques, materials, and cultural rituals. What cultural rituals are integrated into the process of making Mursik?
In the indigenous storage of Mursik, we had 5 types of gourds, and every type had its own function. There was one with a long neck, that is for the herdsman who had gone away with the cattle and is coming back. And then again, there was a gourd that was round in nature. It had some beads. Let me show you one that I came along with. You see this one? So another one just placed with full of Mursik. No one should touch it, so that any stranger that comes across and says that I'm hungry, that is for just any visitor.
Yeah.
And then there was a specific one for the father of the house. That one even the children could not touch. Then another one, it was a funny shape and it was bigger. This one, when a mother could give birth, and it should be full each and every time. That is meant for her until she's allowed to move along with other activities. So you could see these gourds, they were specific, and those were the indigenous meaning.
Being a lecturer at the Technical University of Kenya, what would you tell your students in their 4th year completing their studies? What advice would you give them?
Let them not be rigid on one area. Let them be flexible, and also try to be up to date with the current trends in the design industry, because the design industry is not static. As they are trying to keep up with the current trends, let them not be modernized that much until they forget their roots. If you're a fashion designer, try to look how your roots, they dressed, and now you can bring it into the modern day society. You can actually incorporate the design that they used within your community to the current design. And having that, it will give you a wide array of ideas. It will give you that ability to think freely without a lot of restrictions. Maybe a final thing that I can tell a design student, don't limit yourself. Put into practice whatever you've been taught in class, and also do more research, because actually what a lecturer is giving you, he or she is giving you a scratch on the surface. It is up to you. You dip inside so that you can access whatever your passion needed. I interact with a lot of students. Whatever I know, I want it to be recurrent. It should not end with me. You should learn something from me and make it more than me. So that is why I tend to be more friendlier to everyone that I meet. When I was a student, I could not control some of the lecturers that I had. But now, as a lecturer, I can control a few things. I never got an environment that was friendly. It was more instructive. We have trainers and we have lecturers. You need to distinguish between the difference. For a lecturer, it is a win-win situation. You gather from me and benefit to yourself. But a trainer is someone who will actually make sure that you've done the right thing only by command. The environment that I got when I was studying in TUK, it should not be the same environment that I'm leaving it now that I'm in control of it. I have to make sure that I'm improving. I should make the current student feel at home.
That has been Mr. Matthew Kiptum. We have learned a lot from everything that you've talked about, from your research. I have been your host, Juliet Wanjiku.
Thank you so much, and you're most welcome, Juliet. It was a pleasure having you host me and sharing whatever I know that can be of help to the entire design fraternity. Thank you so much.